God blesses us with the blessings that we have in order that we may bless others, that we may be a channel of service to other people. And the Bible gives refreshment to us in order that we might give refreshment to others. That's the principle that's found in Proverbs 11 in verse 25, a verse that we'll look at today in a message that's entitled, The One Who Waters. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 11 this morning. A message that I've entitled, The One Who Waters. I'll tell you about a fella I had not heard of before this week. His name is R.G. Letourneau, Robert Letourneau. He was born in the late 1800s. And so most of what I'm talking about is going to be the early part of the 20th century where all these things were taking place. But Robert Letourneau was known for being a prolific inventor and entrepreneur. Robert Letourneau, his group was Letourneau Technologies. And what it's earth-moving equipment. That's what it is, like heavy equipment, earth-moving equipment, farm machinery. Robert Letourneau and Letourneau Technologies supplied like 70% of the earth-moving vehicles, engineering vehicles that were used during World War II. So very, very wealthy guy and was known for all of his inventions. He held, I guess, probably nearly 300 inventions in that earth-moving, heavy equipment world. And he was a Christian. He was a very devout Christian, and he is one of the things that he's known for. The reason that I learned about him is because of his giving. You know, most people will say we're going to tithe on our money. We're going to give 10% to missions, or we're going to give 10% to the church, or we're going to tithe 10%. Robert Letourneau, he and his wife made a decision that they were going to give 90%. And they were going to live on 10. They did that of their personal salary and of the company profits. They gave that away to charitable kinds of organizations. He had a conversation with his pastor one day where Letourneau was pretty convinced or had it in his mind that a person could not serve the Lord or work for the Lord apart from vocational ministry, apart from being a part of, you know, a clergy or something like that. And the pastor was telling him, no, like anybody can do that. And that kind of led to the conversations with his wife and the giving. He was a very influential Christian layman, president of some kind of Christian businessmen's organization, and then president of Gideon's International, which probably more of you are familiar with. And that giving, I did not know this either, but some of you are familiar with the Georgia Baptist Conference Center at Toccoa. When that was purchased and given, Letourneau gave, I think, $10,000 toward the purchase of that we have enjoyed as Georgia Baptist. When you read some of the things that he said when asked about that giving of his income, giving 90 and living on 10, which was his wife's idea in the beginning, I believe, he saw it as an investment in eternity. That's the way that he looked at it. He looked at it as if this is not my money, this is God's money, and we're just choosing this portion that we're going to keep, but God has entrusted all of it to us. He said at one point, you know, they say you can't take it with you, but I say you can send it on ahead and have it waiting for your credit when you get there. It's this investment in eternity. When we think about missions and meeting physical needs in order to address a spiritual problem, that's an investment in eternity. Anything that we would put toward that, our money, yes, but we talked about last week that in missions we think about praying and giving and going, whatever it is, our time, our effort, our energy, our money. Some people when you think about that idea that missionaries will ask us to help in those ways, whether it's praying and spending our time or our treasure or our energy, whatever it is, We're doing it, making an investment in eternity, thinking about how God will use it. This is kind of what the message is about today. The one who waters is the one who has this attitude like Letourneau, the one who is willing to make an investment in eternity. I want to tell you how we got here. Sometimes you need to know how we land on a particular passage of Scripture. Several months ago, Philip came to me with this passage of Scripture and said, I'd like just to know your thoughts on this passage of Scripture. So we had a brief conversation then, but I told him, I said, you know, hopefully that'll work out where I can share something at church. And it just hasn't worked out doing in Christ, but today it works out, Philip. So that's what we're doing today. And I've been reading Proverbs with a group of guys this month, and you come across this verse again, you know. And so to consider it and to think about that it works so well for us to think about missions, we're just going to read one verse today in Proverbs 11 and verse 25. It says, "Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." Simple verse. Think about this for just a moment. These words come from the book of Proverbs. For those of you that aren't familiar with that book, King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and those little proverbs, those little snippets, are these little instructions on how to live with wisdom, how to take these things that are very practical, and if we can take them and apply them to our life, kind of the message of Proverbs is, if you can fold these things into your life, it will be an advantage to you. It will be to the betterment of you and your life and the people around you. And so let's take just a little bit today and look at this particular verse. And what I want to do is I want to focus on the last part of that verse. If you look at just the structure of it, it says the same thing, right? The one who blesses will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. But I want us to focus on that watered part. I want us to think about the one who waters, the one who offers the blessing of watering, the one who is dry and thirsty and in need. Let's think about what blessings there are for that person, the one who waters. And so I want to run with that kind of analogy in thinking about how should we water? If we're going to be doing missions, how should we water those around us? How can we water those in our community in a way that we ourselves will be watered? Here's the first thing I would tell you. I believe that if we're going to minister to others, we should water freely. If you think about this verse, I believe that God calls us to minister freely, to give of ourselves freely. If you think for a moment about a drought doesn't happen because the farmers are unwilling to water the plants, right? Droughts happen because the water is unavailable. The resource is not there for them to do it. But if the water was there, the farmers would water freely and the crops wouldn't experience the drought. See, for you and I, this verse, you would think, calls us to water, calls us to look to a world that's dry and thirsty and in need and water. We can only water with the water that we have to give. Wouldn't you agree? You can't water if you do not have water available to you in order to be able to water. This is the beauty of what it is to be a Christian. God has graciously been generous to us. He has freely given to us that makes it possible for us to be able to freely give generously to others. We have a model of generosity in what our Lord has done for us. The truth is that in our sin, we are dry and thirsty and in a weary land. And our Lord comes to us and he gives of himself on the cross for us. He sends his son Jesus to die on the cross in our stead, to make a way and a provision where we owed God one perfect life that we didn't have. And his son gave that for us on the cross, dying in our stead because the wages of sin is death. The penalty that we were to experience would be death. But he took that death for us on the cross. And as a result, he offers freely, "Come and drink. Come and find that need, that spiritual thirst that you have in your life. Come and let me quench that thirst." And he offers that freely to those who would repent, and believe and respond to the call. See, he has shown us his great grace by dying on the cross. Colton pointed out that line this morning, not knowing what I was going to share about today, but think about there he is, Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how in the world it is that he could love me and you, a sinner, condemned, unclean, dry, brittle, good for nothing. And you know what he says? I'm going to water it. I'm going to make it well. I'm going to give grace. The story of the gospel should never get old to us. We should never glaze over it when we sing. And we should never say, oh, David, he's on about that again. Because the glorious gospel is not something that happens to us one time. It is what happens to us every day as we continue to repent and believe and put our trust in the one who has given himself for us. It's a wonder every day that he shows his grace to us. What a generous gift that God so loved the world that he gave his son. What more could he give? We looked at Ephesians, and in Ephesians, when it talks about how God has shown his grace to us, it's in chapter 1, and I believe it's in verse 8, where it says that God, when it talks about God's grace on us, that he has lavished his grace on us. He has given freely. This is a model for us. When we think about the fact that we were in need, right? When you think about that, do you consider how generous God has been to you? Do you consider that? Do you ever think about how generous he's been to you? Or do you just consider and think in your life about all the things that God hadn't given you that you want? God, where are you at? God, why aren't you doing this for me? Forgetting the whole time that he has solved the biggest problem that any man or woman, boy or girl has ever had. Separation from their creator. He's fixed it. And he's not only done it in a shallow, half-hearted way, he gave himself. What more could he give? He has generously given to us freely. You see, when we start thinking about this fact that God owes me something, that God deserve, that I deserve something, that's the wrong kind of thinking. Because we're not able, see, you and I, that kind of thinking stems from the default in us. You understand that when we talk about giving freely, that's not the default in us, is it? We can only give, we can only water freely because he has given freely to us. If he has not given freely to us, in our sin, our default mode is not to water other people. Our default is to say, hey, water me. I need some water. I'm drooping a little bit. Give me some. That's our natural default. But when we consider what God has done for us, we kind of get out of that selfish kind of mindset that screams that, and we realize that God has supplied us with what we need. God has given us what we need. When we begin to think about God as our provider and we start thinking about all the things that we don't have, knowing that he's sovereign, if he hasn't supplied it to us, maybe it's because we don't need it. We talked Wednesday night about the fact that Paul comes in prayer to God and he says, God, I've got this thorn in the flesh, whatever, fill in the blank, problem. I've got this problem. Will you take it away? And he said, I went to the Lord over and over again, kind of implying that God did not give an answer. God did not take the problem away. So he's going back to him over and over again. And what does God eventually say to Paul? It's not going away, but my grace is going to be sufficient for you. I'm not taking the problem away, but I'm going to be there with you. Because sovereign God knows even better than we do what we need. If he has not supplied it, we don't need it. When you think about that generosity that God has given to us, meeting a spiritual emptiness inside of every one of us, and then for those of us who have come to Christ, indwelling us or filling us with the Holy Spirit, because it is not natural in us to want to water others. Do you know how we have the compulsion To water, I'm going to do that over and over again. I'm very sorry. Whoa. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You can laugh when I do it if you need to, but just know I'm going to try to keep stumbling on through it, okay? As he waters us, as we go to water others, his Holy Spirit is what is giving us the ability to do that. We do not have it on our own. If we're going to give freely, if we are only giving of our own resources, we will very quickly run dry. Because there ain't a whole lot in us that will give. We'll get to a point where we will be burned out. And if we find ourselves burned out, maybe the question we should be asking ourselves is, am I relying on me or am I relying on the Spirit? Because what he has put in us is the Holy Spirit, which is an abundant resource. Look at these verses. These are the words of Jesus. This is in John 4. This is when he's talking to the woman at the well. Remember that? And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water from this well right here, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Never-ending source. John chapter 7 in verse 37. It says there that on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's this abundant supply. Think for just a minute. If I have plants at my house and I'm going to water them, which we don't. We are definitely plant serial killers, so you can't believe anything I say on this. But I have been told that this is how it works with plants, right? You get ready to water those plants. I could go about that a couple of ways, couldn't I? I could go over and I could get me a water jug, get me a watering can, and I could fill that watering can up, and I could go, and I could, right? I could water those plants, but what's going to happen if I have a whole garden full of them and I have that watering can and I get finished? At some point, that watering can is going to run out. I'm going to have to go back, see? Okay, well, then I could just set my watering can down. I could drag the hose pipe out. Watering hose, whatever you call it, garden hose, you know. Amy says, that ain't a pipe. A pipe's rigid, but whatever. That's what it is. It's the hose. She said, preach. I go get that hose pipe and I turn the water on and I go and I start doing. Now, see, I could leave that hose pipe on and I could just keep watering. And as long as the city of Lafayette has water, it's going to keep coming out of there. It's just going to keep coming. But you know what? Let's just think in theory. I could just leave that water going. What if the city of Lafayette runs out of water? See, this passage has gone back to the source. What Jesus is saying in those verses is, I am the source. I am the well of water that is springing up in you. I'm here. I've freely given myself and all of my resources to you. I've placed that within you so that you might give freely. The one who waters can only water with the resources that they have. And if you're here this morning and you're trying to water and do good and whatever, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, eventually you run out. If you're here today and you are thirsty in your spirit, if you are thirsty in your soul, listen to me. All of your answers are found in the well that does not run dry. Come to him. Come to him today. He calls us to give freely. The one who waters should water freely. But I believe, secondly, the one who waters should water fully. To water fully is to recognize the need, to see the need, and then to meet it to the full. To recognize that those plants are drooping, and then to give them a little water, to give them a little pick-me-up, is the same idea as looking around at the world in which you live, Seeing the places, ministry, missions, is about looking around and finding the needs of the people who are around you, seeing where they are drooping, and then providing the pick-me-up. Not so that that is the end, not so that we just meet that one need. That's great when we meet that need, when a person has it and we meet it. But the idea of missions is that we would be able to take that spiritual need, that physical need, meet that physical need, and then allow it to have a conversation about how that we can meet a spiritual need that goes far deeper and is much longer lasting than the physical need that they have, to water fully. You see, when I read this passage, in verse 25, you see it's two parts, but in each part, I estimate that there are two benefits here, two reasons why we should minister with generosity. One, it benefits them. But we cannot read verse 25 and deny the fact that another reason why we should minister and give generously is it benefits you. That's why the Solomon has written here for us these words of wisdom, that if we would apply it to our life, if we would apply it and give generously, he will supply. He will generously give to us. Let's start with how they benefit from this. Think for just a minute about this. When we look around and we see those that are in need, it's important to meet those needs because it has a real impact on them, has a real impact on people. Now, when I say this and I say give generously and all those sort of things, you understand that I'm not just talking about monetarily, right? I want you to think right now, just for a second, think for just a minute about something that somebody has done for you that did not cost them a great deal of money. It didn't, may not have even cost them a great deal of time. But they did that thing, and that thing that they did was relatively insignificant in the grand scheme of things, and the world might look at it and not even believe that it was a big gesture. But to you, it meant the world. It made a huge impact on you. I'll tell you one in our family, Waylon, I'm going to embarrass you, but this is the way it is. Yes, okay. So Amy and I have this story with Waylon where Waylon did something for us one time that was very helpful. Amy had a little problem in the night. We went to the emergency room, and they ended up and said, we're going to have to keep you, emergency surgery, all this. You know how that is, you know? So we go to the hospital, not planning to stay, just looking to get checked out, and then we're there. So the next day, after the surgery's happened and we're there at the hospital, Waylon comes up after work and he said, what do you need? What can I do for you? And I said, well, listen, I'll tell you what would be great is if you could just sit here. Y'all remember this? If you could just sit here long enough for me to go home and get a shower and get a bag and come back, that would be great. Now, I'm going to tell you, Waylon didn't really do nothing. It was, an hour and a half of your time? That joker sat back in a chair and went to sleep. They both went to sleep. They just napped until the person next door died or coded blue or whatever, and they come in and had to rush in and administer aid, and it woke them both up. But then I bet they both went back to sleep. And then, and that's what they did. But when I got back up there, that need had been met. And Amy talks about over and over again how that was just, it was comforting. It was just comforting to be there. It didn't cost him anything. It was a relatively short amount of time. It was done, and it mattered. Can you think of a time that somebody did that for you? All right? You can do that. You can look around and find that thing and be that for someone else. To turn around and give that little, because what that does is that it shows people that you care, but it does something more than that. It develops this bond, this story that you now have of an experience with that person. For a person that doesn't know Christ, for a person that thinks that you are some kind of religious nut who comes down here to this cult on Sundays, you become a real person to them. You're a real person. And they see that and they recognize that you're not any different than they are. And there begins to be this connection that's built. And what happens is it builds credibility to be able to share the gospel because we know that people are in need. They're hurting. People are hurting. They're looking for an answer to why they are here. They are looking to find fulfillment and satisfaction. And what they're looking for, they may not know it, is they're looking for peace with God. That's what they're looking for. They don't know that. But we have the answer for that. And so when you think about how it benefits, the reason we should give generously is we want to meet the need fully. Not just the physical need, we want to meet the spiritual need that they have. We want to meet it fully. We want to take care of all of those physical problems so that we are not like the verse we looked at in James last week that said, when you find your brother, you know, who's cold or in need, and you say, well, I'll be praying for you, buddy. It's good that we pray. There's a lot, I mean, that's great. But when a person has that physical need, that we meet it and we're lifting them up in prayer is really important, because it gives us an avenue to be able to get to the spiritual need, which is the real problem. The reason that we should give and water fully is because they benefit from it. But listen to me. It's not selfish to look at this passage and recognize that you benefit from it too. That's what the passage is saying to us. The Bible is clearly drawing the conclusion that if we will give, there are benefits for us in that. Back to the idea of wisdom in Proverbs. If you can fold these into your life, you will be blessed by them. Look at the passage. The first part says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. Some of that word enriched, some of you may have a translation that uses the word prosperity. Maybe it will bring prosperity. I forget some of the translations that I read this week and the words that are used there, but that's one that comes to mind. That word enriched, prosperity, it does mean financially, but that's only a portion of what the word means. It means that you will be blessed fully. Give fully, you will be blessed fully. If you look to the first part there, that the whoever brings blessing will be enriched, the literal translation of that is, in Hebrew, the soul of blessing will be made fat. You will be given an abundance. You will have more than you need. It's a promise of prosperity. That's what it's saying in the second part of the verse, that the one who waters will not just be giving to the point that they will be empty, but they will in turn be watered. They will in turn be blessed. Have you ever heard people use that expression and say, you just can't outgive God? Have you ever heard that expression before? It's very true. Those of you that have seen that in practice, recognize and realize that you cannot outgive him. You cannot. We don't have a lot of money in our, like yours, we don't have a whole lot of money in our household to spare, but there's been times where God has said, those people need this or that. And when you supply that need and you meet, even if it basically puts you in a pinch, puts you in a bind, we've never had a time where we have been in want because God has supplied that. Listen, I hope you're not offended, but some of you, even over the past month, have given money, you know, as appreciation, you've given money to us. And sometimes when you give that money, you don't realize that somebody else I know needs it. And sometimes it gets passed on. The truth of it is that I recognize fully that when I'm doing that, their need needs to be met. And that's what I'm interested in. But I also feel free to do that. I also feel liberty to do that because I know that God is never going to leave us in a pinch. He has supplied every need and met it in the past, and I have all assurance that he will continue to do that. He will do it. And if you have given in that way, you know that you can't outgive God. That phrase is a quick way of saying what's given to us in 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, it says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The reason that we give fully is because God has supplied us. He has made us a channel, and he has intended for it to flow from us to them to meet the need fully. And do not dismiss the fact that when we are a channel, when we bless, God promises that he will bless us. There's a story about two brothers that I have heard and told sometimes about. It's an old story about how they operated a mill together. And each night when the work was done, they would divide the grain evenly, and each brother had a granary where they would store that grain. Now, one brother, he was a single man who lived alone. The other brother had a wife and children and a family. And so each night they would divide the grain, then they would go to their house, you know. And the single brother, he would say to himself, you know what, I mean, I'm just a single guy. I mean, my brother, he's got a wife and a whole family. It's really not fair that we divide that grain out evenly, but I don't want his pride to be hurt. So he would go to his granary, he would sneak out some grain, and he would take it to his brother's granary, and he would fill it up. You know, he would add grain without the brother knowing. The brother who was married, he would sit at home and he would say, you know, I'm so blessed with a wife and kids, I've got kids that are going to take care of me and they're going to meet my needs. But my brother, he don't have anybody. I'll take him a little extra. And so he would take from his granary and he would put it in the brother's without them knowing it. And they would just continue to work. But magically, every morning that they took, you know, grain out of their granary, it ended up and it was right back. This is how it works in our relationship with others. As we give, as it leaves our granary, do you know what God does? He's putting it right back in. We give fully because you are blessed and they are blessed. It's the way that when I would go out into my yard and I would to water those flowers and if I was to take care of them, if I was to water those flowers, the flowers benefit. When they're drooping and you give them water, the flowers benefit and they perk up and they look beautiful and they have those blooms that pop out. And you benefit because you get to pass by and see those flowers and smell those flowers and enjoy them. There's benefit on both sides of that. I've got to really hurry because I'm about finished and out of time, okay? The one who waters should water freely and fully, but finally and very quickly. The one who waters should water frequently. I can't water those plants. See, this is the problem with the plants, right? You got to water them more than once, you know? You can't just water them and say, well, I did that. They're going to be in constant need. Every once in a while, you got to go back and you got to do it again. The supply that came one day will not be sufficient always. Think about how we do missions. Think about how we do ministry often. We do something, and we're able to give out of the abundance that we have because he is freely given to us, and we meet a need for somebody, and they benefit from it, and we see that, and we're blessed by it, and so we benefit from it, and we walk away feeling good, chest out, life's good, and we live on that for a long time. You know what I did 3 years ago? Do you know the good thing that I used to do? And the question is not, how have you ministered in the past? The question is, how have you recently, how have you right now where you are in your current circumstances of life, how have you watered those around you? How have you reached out to those who are in need? It does not take a lot. Generosity is not necessarily an issue of quantity, but of quality. As we talked about before, it does not have to be a big thing to make an impact. But what are we doing with frequency right now to reach out to a person who's in need? I want to tell this story. My dad spoke out here on Wednesday night, and we'll steal your story because there wasn't this many people out here on Wednesday night. And I'm probably going to tell it wrong, but it's all right. I'll get close. And he shared this story. I've heard him share it before, and he shared it the other night, and it's a good one. He talked about a man who was telling this story about one who lived on a street. A young couple moved in across the way, and they tried to get to know that young couple. And they, you know, they would talk. And you know how it is when they find out you're a preacher, they're not interested. You know, they don't want to talk to you. You know, you're weird. They said that sometimes the couple would even avoid him, you know, as he, you know, as he started to talk about Jesus, even especially the young husband, he would not want to talk to this man because he, you know, knew that the conversation might turn to Jesus. But his couple really wanted to minister to them. They didn't have a lot of family that lived close, and the husband, he would go out of town a lot of times for work, and she would go with him. And so there were long periods where they were not at home. There was just, you know, days on end where they would just not be over there across the street. So this couple that lived there, he decided that he was going to minister to them by going over, and he would get their mail, get their newspaper. He'd put it behind the screen door while they were gone. He'd get their garbage can on garbage day. He'd roll it out to the street, and he would, you know, when the garbage truck came, he'd roll it back. And he did those little things, but the couple noticed it. Why do you do that? Well, it opened the door for him to be able to talk about Jesus, about how Jesus had freely given to him, fully given, and met his need. And he was just trying to do that for others. The couple was going to have a baby. And he said, listen, he said, I know that you don't have family here. I want you to call me when you get to the hospital. We want to be there for you. When the call came and he went to the hospital, something happened. There was complications with the delivery, and the husband was not in the delivery room but was in the waiting room. And he just began to, you know, talk to this older gentleman who had the opportunity to share Christ with him. And in that waiting room, concerned about his wife and new baby, that husband gave his life to Jesus. Sometime later, as the wife was, you know, with this new mother and was helping her, she had a conversation with her, and she came to know the Lord. And that fruit came because of a newspaper and a garbage can. With frequency, small things matter. Do we have a small routine? Do we have something in place right now that we have that we can do where we can give generously to those that are around us as a means to put into place not just what we talk about with missions, not just to adopt a missionary or give to Annie Armstrong or Lottie Moon, or not just to take on a mission project or go to Zimbabwe. What in our personal life, how are we in our personal life day to day living out that missions in me idea that I will serve those around me so that I can tell them about Jesus? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as they come and they get something ready for us to sing, I want you to think for just a moment this morning, first of all, about the well of water inside you. If watering others, the source of that is going to come from a well that exists inside of us, as Jesus described. I want you to consider your own life. What well is there? What resource are you pulling from to water others? Is your heart a spiritual desert, unable to minister to others spiritually because you yourself are spiritually dry? If that's the case, come to Jesus today. Do you feel like spiritually there's just this trickle? Or are you walking with the Lord? Are you living in the Spirit? Would you describe what's happening within you spiritually as being a well that doesn't run dry? A spring of living water that gushes up within you. This morning, that's the first place to start. This morning, if he's spoken to you about the condition of your own heart, come to this altar. Look, we're not here to judge each other. We're not here to look and ask and wonder why they're going. We came here today so that we want to look at his word, and we don't want to leave here the same. And so if he's calling us to a place today where we say, where the Lord is saying to you, you need me. Let me quench that spiritual thirst that you have. I want you to come this morning in just a moment when we sing, and I want you to take me by the hand. I want you to say, David, I'm spiritually thirsty, and I need somebody to talk me through that. We're not going to embarrass you. We want to get somebody that can take God's word, go somewhere in this building where it's quiet, where people are not singing and talking, and you can be able to have a conversation and leave here today knowing from God's word that you have all the assurance in the world of a well of water, living water, gushing up within you. Maybe you're here today and you're just oblivious to the needs around you. You tend to walk through life not realizing who's drooping. You don't benefit from it because you don't see that they need to benefit from your blessing. And maybe today you would come and you would bow in this altar and you would say, Lord, give me eyes to be able to see what's around me, to be able to see the need, to give me opportunities to minister. Maybe you'd come today and you would say, Lord, I have a tendency to see the need and I start with gusto and I end in a fizzle. Lord, help me to find the need and then be faithful to do it frequently and fervently for you. Lord, we come to you today knowing that you know our hearts. Lord, I don't have to know anybody's heart in the room. I know what you've asked me to share. And Lord, I trust that right now your Holy Spirit is speaking, convicting, showing us how we should respond to you. So right now in this moment, help us to be obedient. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.